Krejci goes around Jordan Stoll. He's got Heinen in middle. Heinen scores! Oh my goodness, the cardiac kids are doing it again.
And you never thought you'd live to see the day.
They score!
That's the hat trick for Pastrnak.
Like to win with what Boston fans appreciate: hard work, blue collar, and a certain level of pace and skill.
And the horn will sound. The tempers are still flaring. But when you look at the standings tomorrow, the team at the top of the Eastern Conference, the top of the Atlantic Division, will read Boston Bruins.
Just because you've never been hit in the head with a puck doesn't mean you can't sound like you've been hit in the head with a puck.
Ow, Cody here.
It's the Toucher and Rich Drunken Bruins Recap on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Last night, a big win for the Bruins.
Massive win. It's like it's the kind of game that you're going to look back upon and go, all right, that's the one that showed they are ready for the playoffs. They've got, I mean, the way that they stuck up for each other, the physicality that was in the game. Hell, you had Tuukka Rask and David Pastrnak. Matter of fact, if you would have given me the Bruins roster yesterday and said, circle the names of the two people you least expected to fight, they would be the ones.
Well, you're always taking the goalie.
You're always taking the goalie. And Pastrnak said he's never fought before after the game. Never right. fought.
Protecting Patrice Bergeron. And they're only going to get bigger because Chara's on the verge of coming back, and I'm convinced Nash comes back as well. But Nick was out at the Garden last night talking to Bruins fans.
I'm kind of wondering, because I know that obviously we've had a little bit of a sense of what's been going on with this team, and there's some people who have been late on board, but I'm wondering what the feeling is like outside a game like that. Like, is it now at the point where for Bruins fans, it feels real?
Playoff atmosphere.
If it's not last night, then when?
Right. Like, then when regular season is this going to happen? Because, I mean, we're right there. So I was very anxious this morning when I got the audio from Nick to see how it sounded on Causeway Street.
If it sucks, it's entirely on Nick, because you would have to imagine.
It's fishing shoot in a barrel.
That's a prior audio guy. Yes, indeed. All right.
So let's take a listen. This is Nick outside on Causeway Street right after the game yesterday.
Can we use this for Nerea?
Absolutely.
What do you think about tonight's game?
I think it's awesome that we're in first place in the Atlantic Conference, baby! Let's friggin' go, Bruins!
What was your favorite part of the game?
Tuukka getting in that scram. It had to have been. That's the first time I've seen Tuukka get physical on his crease.
Listen, that's what I miss. I miss it. It's like life. It's hearing people just lose their minds and idiots run around in the background and people screaming, "We want the cup." Last night on TV, that gave me chills.
Yeah, at the end.
When they actually did that at the end of the game, nope. That actually gave me chills watching that. But now it's starting to feel real.
Yeah.
Here we go.
How deep do you think the Bruins are going to be? Hold on, let me try that one more time.
Yeah.
How deep do you think the Bruins are going to get?
In the playoffs, yeah.
All right. How deep are the Bruins going to get in the playoffs?
I think they better get into the Eastern Conference Finals, and they better win the Stanley Cup.
I won $700 because I took the minus one and a half plus 225.
So guy just came to brag about how much he won from the game last night. I just like how it took Nick 45 seconds to get one question out.
He's excited.
He's very excited about the game last night.
He was overwhelmed by what was going on.
I do love it. It sounds real now. It sounds real.
Here is more of Nick at the TD Garden.
Can we use this for the radio?
If you want to.
Yeah. All right. Tell me about tonight's game.
Hey, Bergeron was there. And when Bergeron be there, everything happened. He's 100%. He's 100. He makes up 100% of their offense and defense.
That's true. He's 100% of everything.
Hey!
This guy
He's Roenick in NHL 94. He's 100% of everything.
Was this guy just snapping on the side? Hey, daddy-o! What's up, cool cats?
Hey, the only thing I didn't like, I wish Rass would have wouldn't have gave up that second goal, but that's what he's been giving up all this season. But we in first place, and that's all we need. And we win tomorrow. We have sole possession by a game.
So, how psyched are you that we're first place?
Oh, mass psyched, man. Everybody in Causeway Street know that, man. They got to make me be quiet sometimes, but, we in first place, but we got to win the cup. You tell everybody that.
You think we're going all the way?
Well, if we keep doing what we're doing, I can see them. But we definitely go on a playoffs, though.
All right, if you could say anything to the Bruins, what would it be?
Wow. We want the cup! We want the cup! Yeah.
Right. Super smooth. Smooth Jack out there.
Got a ways to go to get to the playoff anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a little ways to go. But it will get there. It will get there. Last night was the, like I said, the first game, first regular season game since 2011 that I believed is a harbinger of something great about to happen. And the fact that they're doing it while injured and very important players being injured, it is more of a testament to what's going on with this team. But don't you worry. The Garden will be absolutely insane.
By the way, somebody, completely on a different subject, but this just came through. Somebody tweeted a picture of John Wallach in his Boston Uprising uniform. And Brandon Merriweather tweeted back and said, "Okay, I see you, Wall Dick. I think you found your look. I'm proud of you, my friend."
Thanks, Brandon.
So he knows you're looking super smooth.
Right.
Even Brandon knows that that's right. You seem right at home with your video gaming sports jersey.
At the flat brim. I think that's what sold it. Yes. I think it's my Boston Uprising flat brim hat.
I like that this flat brim thing is still something. You know, like everybody, every hat now is a flat brim hat.
No, it's not.
It really is.
No, it's not.
No, that's the only one I've put on in
a
decade.
Well, that's you, but I mean, go outside. I mean, every hat is a flat brim hat.
No, it's not.
It's absolutely true.
I see a lot of curved brims myself.
Yeah, like if you went to Lids,
like all the cool cats do.
Yeah, it's about half and half.
No. Everything at Lids is flat brim.
No,
not true.
No, I bought hats there, and I'm not team flat.
My kids love going in there. Trust me, it's not.
Well,
all
you can
flat brim.
Mold the flat brim into a curved hat.
Yeah, but then it looks weird.
But they're
if
not
you mold
they're,
the flat
but,
brim.
But they're not all sold flat brim. They don't all start flat brim.
Right.
Nick, you're a youngster.
I can go to the Lids website.
Well, Lids sucks, but let's go.
Then think of another hat store. Just name another one. I'm just saying Lids because I think
I love any Lids. Hat I don't know what Fred's talking
Freddy
about.
Freddie Chapeau.
Yeah.
The House of Chapeau. Nick,
I love Lids.
Nick,
you're
not really as young as you
like,
should
I mean,
be.
I just went to Lids.com. And there's five hats. One of them is flat brim.
Yeah, Lid sucks. All right, so
Champs. What do you want? Dicks. Any place where you buy like
Bob's. Let's go to Bob's.
Watch it.
Watch it, the language. All right, so, yes, and by the way, I don't like being referred to that as that. All right, Nick, you're out there a little older than you probably should be in your position, but what percentage of hats do you go out, do you see that are flat brim?
A lot.
Yeah, wait, give me a percentage.
Probably like 60 or 70%.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, there's a lot of flat brim.
70%, but it's not even a thing now. It's not even a thing. Now, representing Hustler, that is a thing.
Oh, we have Mike Gorman waiting.
Oh, that's right. Okay, right. We got to go.
Toucher and Rich.
Are you kidding me?
Toucher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Down to 7. Larkin driving to the basket. Ogilvy. Brown takes it. Got it! 1/10 of a second on the clock. And I'm going to make my flight. Way to go, Jaylen Brown.
Bring up the five villain.
This is the brand new Czarface.
With MF Doom?
Yeah, Esoteric sent this to me. It comes out today. Oh, man, I got to get the name of it. I got this one and another one he sent, radio edits. But I know you can pick it up. Like, you can go on iTunes, you can get the new Czarface. Our friend Esoteric and 7L. Yeah, and God damn it, I should have had this in front of me. I didn't know we were going to play right here. But yeah, so they got a new album out. You can get it at Newbury Comics, iTunes as well.
Yeah, it's not Czarface. It's him and MF Doom.
Who's the best? Who's the worst? We can argue hours.
Yeah.
Running through Soldier Field, I'm Jordan Howard. Nowadays, they
yeah, so where's my
money, power, respect?
Limited vinyl that you sent.
Here it is. It's Czarface and MF Doom. It's called Czarface Meets Metal Face.
Okay.
And it comes out today. The song's called Forever People. There you go.
All right. Mike Gorman is MF Doom. He's the man behind the mask. He is MF Doom. He's been he goes from shows to shows. Actually, I don't think MF Doom can leave the UK based on charges of lack of child support that he's facing here in the United States. But that might not be the case anymore. But Mike Gorman, we appreciate you joining us.
Welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's good to be back. I heard you refuse to go on with anyone else other than us. What's that?
Rich, I like the beard. I like the beard.
It's weird. Yeah, I don't like it. I just got lazy. It's going to be gone soon, but it's always that I hate doing the shave, and then for like 3 days, my face looks all warped and fat. So I'm not looking forward to that. I'm not a big fan of it.
I don't know. My wife, who doesn't throw around a lot of compliments, distinguished was the word she used.
Oh, nice. How about that?
Yeah. Nice.
You know, Rich, what you could do?
What's that?
Is you can get a little cool sculpting with Dr. Russo.
I can do that, yes.
Again, freeze away that fat.
Freeze away that fat.
Sure.
That's right. Get a little cool sculpting. You know, Gorman knows what I'm talking about with that cool sculpting. He's asked the questions. I've given him the answers. We got that kind of rapport. So you don't
we do.
Yeah, we do, absolutely. So you don't do the show when we're not here?
No, I don't. No.
Just the respect for the.
If you're off, I'm off. You know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's what mm-hmm. I'm saying. As can we recreate this chemistry anywhere else? I say no.
No, I don't even want to try.
Yep. No. Let's not push it. You know what I'm saying. All right. So, Danny Ainge was on. Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, there's that famous chemistry.
It's
with the chemistry of a 5-car pileup,
and we're off.
No, I love
you talk.
Mike.
No, you talk. I'll talk. Okay, then you talk.
You go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
No, you said Danny Ainge was on yesterday, and
mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Danny Ainge was on yesterday, and he says Kyrie Irving's knee doesn't seem like it's going to be something that's a chronic problem. It's been messed up now for what? He hurt it in 2015. It's been messed up for a while now. Are you at all concerned about Kyrie Irving in the future?
I'm more concerned about Kyrie Irving in the present, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I would like to see him get back and get on the floor and give these guys a legitimate chance to go deep into the playoffs. So that's my concern right now. I worry about his long-term future over there when we're not playing basketball this summer.
Okay.
But right now, I just want to see him get back and playing because I think, you know, this it's a great time, obviously, to be a sports fan in the city of Boston, the way the Bruins are playing. And opening day happens yesterday, and the Celtics, it's just remarkable what they accomplished on the West Coast. To put Kyrie back in the hunt, and I think, you know, Brad has figured out, I'm jumping around here, but Brad has figured out a way to win games that he had no business winning. And one of these days, he's going to come up with a way to stop LeBron James. And I hope we get a shot at doing it this year, because Brad seems to be on a remarkable role from a coaching point of view.
Okay, so if you're a Celtics fan, this road trip has been very interesting, and it's making you feel pretty good, because out of the four games, there's two that, as you said, the Celtics had no business winning. The Portland game, and especially that Utah game the other night.
Yep.
And they're going to be going into that first round of the playoffs, more than likely, with what you've been seeing over the past week and a half. How realistic is it? Because I think that, if I'm not mistaken, Marcus Smart is due to come back no earlier than the second round, and Kyrie is either second or the Eastern Conference Finals if they were to make it there. So how realistic is it, in your opinion, that this skeleton crew of a team could win the first round with a Terry Rozier-led squad?
I think it depends upon whom they play. I think if they play Miami, I think they got a real shot, because Miami's got no superstar. I think the thing that could hurt the Celtics would be if they play Milwaukee and Giannis goes off. That could be a real problem. I don't think the Celtics really want to play the Pacers, because Turner is starting to become a big-time player for them. So I think you want to play Miami, because they're kind of faceless. You know, Kelly Olynyk is one of their better players. But they're very similar teams, and that they're extremely well-coached. And I think it would be a really good series, but I think the Celtics could win that, get Marcus back, and maybe move further into the playoffs.
Are you writing off the Wizards? Because it's funny, because I know that obviously they've been going back and forth as far as how they've been playing, and the health is an issue as well. But they've been giving the Celtics a hard time all season long. Even like when they had, you know, the Celtics were fully healthy outside of Hayward, and the Wizards were not.
I've feared Washington all year long, but John Wall's situation seems to be touch and go. Granted, they have played well without Wall, but again, that's very similar to losing Kyrie in terms of importance to their team. So I wouldn't have the same fear of Washington than I would have if Wall were healthy right now and they were coming in playing well. They're not playing particularly well down the stretch. I don't think they can fall as far as they need to fall, given the fact that all these teams that are in the hunt for those final playoff spots are playing each other for the next couple of weeks. What is still possible for the Celtics is to finish first, which I think would be remarkable. They'd have to beat Toronto twice, but that's not heard of. And if you look at Toronto's schedule, they have Indiana and they have Cleveland left. So the Celtics are three games behind the loss column right now. Boston, if they were to sweep the next two games, would own the tiebreaker. So the Celtics still, despite the fact that Kyrie is gone and Marcus is gone, have a chance to finish first. Could cement coach of the year.
I agree. And Mike, the one thing that will enable them to do all that is to continue to play the good defense, especially on the West Coast. And even before that, with the skeleton crew they have, you know, you mentioned Marcus Smart is out. Horford's got the bad ankle. He's been in and out of the lineup. And still the Celtics are playing not just good defense, great defense. How are they doing this?
Because Horford sucks.
Well, I tell you what they did against you.
I'm just going to let that one go by. That's fine.
Yeah, I just let that drift by, too. I think they played a lot of 2-3 zone, which was really surprised me the other night. It was very effective against Utah. You're right, though, John, in that everybody talks about what Brad Stevens does, the plays he draws up in the final seconds of games. And really what is important is the fact that he has the option to draw up important plays at the end of games, that somehow he coached them through the first 45 or 46 minutes and had them in a position to win. That's what I find most amazing about Brad. I mean, that's a Utah team the other night that had won something like 22 of their last 25 games, their third best record in the league since January. The town was jazzed up. It was a sellout crowd. They thought there was going to be Hayward's return, but Donovan Mitchell, they're crazy about. They think he's going to be Rookie of the Year. And the Celtics go in and beat them severely on demand. No Morris, no Horford, no Smart, no Kyrie. And it was a close game the whole game. Nobody really had a double-digit lead, I don't think, in the game. So, again, it's Brad's job that he does from minute one to minute 45 or 46 that gives the Celtics a chance to win these games. And, you know, there's a certain amount of luck involved, but, you know, guys are hitting shots. Morris hit the big shot up in Portland, and then Jalen hit the big shot in Utah.
All right, so we have a phone call. James, you were on with the iconic Mr. Mike Gorman.
What's going on, boys?
Hey.
Hey, Mike. James, I'm from St. Brendan's Parish. Been listening to you for a long time. How's it going? Just got to ask, are you
way to represent.
Yeah, hell yeah. Are you tired from carrying Scal on that West Coast road trip? Because I find him to be an insufferable know-it-all, and I wish there was a function where I could mute him out and just listen to you during the game. So I'll take that off the air.
Is that true, Mike? How difficult is it to carry Scal, who is insufferable?
Scal is not insufferable. Come on, Scal is good. Scal knows the game as well as any assistant coach around the league. He's funny. People just want to pick on Scal. I don't know why. And people think that Scal and I don't get along. Scal and I are very good friends on and off the podcast.
You made it clear. You go out with Scal all the time. And, of course, I like Brian. How could I not like Brian Scalabrine, all he's done for us?
Yeah, I don't know why Scal elicits that kind of a...
He's not Heinsohn.
Yeah, that's why, because he's not a legend.
But nobody's ever going to be Tommy.
I know, but it's like when David Lee Roth replaced Howard Stern... well, that's a bad example. It's anyway, that was too mean. But it's like when my point is, when you replace a legend or you're filling in for a legend, I mean, no matter what you do, it's going to be tough, and there's going to be a group of people that don't understand it. What's this St. Parish thing happening?
Is that your high school?
St. Brendan's. No, that's where I grew up. If you grew up in Dorchester, you didn't identify yourself by where you were from. You identified by yourself by what parish you were in. You didn't say Kevin, St. Mark's, St. Gregory's.
Can we identify with not having to move to Dorchester or our offices? Because that would be nice.
We identify what?
We eventually, we're going to have to move to Dorchester. A
couple of months, that's where we're headed, Mike. Our office.
We're headed to Dorchester.
We have a new studio that's going to be built in Dorchester, yes.
Whereabouts?
Right near where the Globe used to be.
Yeah, right across from BC High.
Oh, sure, okay. Oh, yeah. There used to be a First National grocery store that was there.
You used to sing doo-wop in front of it.
You know when it's a
trash can fire?
You know when it's a great part of town? It's when they had the guts to build a grocery store there.
I worked my way through high school there.
That's like when Whole Foods first opened in Detroit proper, and people were freaking out about how it was a renaissance for the city when they first opened that. All right, so what are the plans, Mike, tonight? Is it a Good Friday or is it a Passover?
No, it's a Good Friday. It's a quiet, laid back, go to church for a couple of hours, Good Friday.
Now, John Wallach, are you Good Friday or are you Passover?
I'm neither, Fred.
Okay.
I'm neither.
You know, John is...
Are you just waiting for the Easter Bunny? What are you doing?
Well, essentially, that's what happens on Sunday.
No, he's Hellbait. That's what we like to call him. So he's just...
Not for
he doesn't have a Savior,
Mike.
So he's
not
just,
religious.
You know, we know
no
where
Seder,
he's going.
He's
no,
a
no
lapsed
Easter.
Jew.
that's what I am.
He grew up Jewish, both
mm-hmm.
parents.
Mm-hmm.
He is by Jewish law Jewish.
Jewish law, yes.
Well, no, it's true. As are my children.
Okay.
And he refuses to take part in any of the ceremonial stuff, even the good stuff. Like, you could have gone nuts and pour them.
That's right. People knocking down my door, you must do this. And I hold them off saying, no, I want no part of it. That's exactly what happens every year.
You'd be welcome to come to my house to do whatever you do on Passover.
Thanks, Fred.
All right. Well, you were invited.
What's the good stuff, Fred?
What's the good stuff is
getting forced to
religious holidays.
Isn't it getting forced to
be
drunk?
Christmas, obviously.
You can do that at any holiday. Just ask me.
That's a good point. When the family's around,
it's Arbor Day.
It comes a little easier. And I'm getting drunk.
Every holiday is a drunk holiday for me. But we don't. We don't celebrate. We only do Yom Kippur and Passover. But the and I do celebrate Easter and we got a whole thing. And the best is they're like, are your kids confused because you celebrate the Jewish holidays and then Easter and Christmas? And I'm like, yeah, it's a real nightmare for them. They have to get presents. They just hate it. They're in utter confusion. What are the fun ones? I don't know. Passover the way we do it's all right. You have people over. You eat. You have some. you know, Manischewitz. It's no, I'm just kidding. But you have people over. It's social.
Do you have people of different religions over? Or
yeah.
Do you
well,
have to
yeah,
be Jewish.
No, because like we're not in any like Jewish clique. Like the Jewish people that we're friends with all have like a ton of family around. So we're not invited no. anywhere. So we have like a goyim to our house.
That's why you're not invited anywhere.
Because they don't like me. No, it's okay.
Oh, boy.
So we have a lot of Jewish friends.
Yes, yes.
But at least to my knowledge, they have family things that they do okay. around the holidays.
Okay,
which used
That's
to
what they say.
Do you, Mike? Am I that hard to deal with?
No. Why?
Because Rich is insinuating that no one likes me.
No, I'm just saying that sounds like a very strange reason, is that there's all these different, but they can't do it because there's other family. They're not part of, you're not part of a clique. You're not on the inside.
Dude, what do I know?
Is there an initiation maybe you haven't gone through yet?
They're with their families. It's a family thing.
You know, to become a member of the clique.
What would the initiation be?
Oh, I don't know. To become a member of their clique? I don't know.
It's like a quiz you have to pass?
Possibly.
It's like diner. You gotta pass that
My
test.
My God. Hi, Mike.
More good Celtics talk to come here. Yeah.
All right. Well, Mike Gorman, it's always a pleasure, sir. Always a highlight of my week, certainly. And we appreciate the time.
All right. See you guys.
All right. See you, Mike.
You always sound so disappointed at the end of these things. Yeah, that's it.
Put them on a list.
You know, I used to like doing that show, and then they just confused me.
Yeah.
Well, we started going off the page a little bit. Mm-hmm. We're late for the headlines. When we come back, some Gronkowski news.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
If you could have a superpower, what would that one superpower be?
Man, like a time machine.
Being invisible.
Is this a time machine count?
Yeah, let's do it. We could build a time machine right here.
If I could just be like, I want to be in Florida right now, and then, boom, I'm in Florida.
That'd be more like a transporter. Like,
yeah, is that a superpower?
It's called the walk, just let your body talk till you're deep in a trance. You don't need no partner.
98.5 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich thanks to Sweet Cheeks Q for dropping off breakfast sandwiches for the show, located on Boylston Street, minutes from Fenway Park and the go-to spot. Before home games and concerts on April 5th, Sweet Cheeks will have specials to celebrate the home opener, including hot smoked chicken, drink specials, and much more. For more info, visit Sweet Cheeks. SweetCheeksQ.com.
One of my favorite restaurants in the city, and that they brought breakfast sandwiches that are insane. I didn't know they did breakfast, but this is something that Greg Bedard posted yesterday. Now, of course, he's been hanging out with all the coaches and owners down at the owners' meetings, and he wanted to speak to whoever he could to try to get a read on what the hell's going on with Rob Gronkowski. Now, there was the news yesterday that he did indeed get a movie role. The one thing about that is that you don't really know what extent it is. I mean, is it like a quick cameo? Is he in it for 15 seconds? Does he even speak in it? But nonetheless, it looks like a legitimate movie. This isn't like that one where he played a cop and ran in and botched his line and it was done, like a straight-to-video type thing. This is one that has a director that's made legitimate movies. He did that movie The Gray with Liam Neeson. He made that movie Narc. I think he directed the first Fast and the Furious movie, I believe, the very first one. His name's Joe Carnahan. I could be wrong about that second one. Or about Fast and Furious. But it's got Mel Gibson and Naomi Watts, you know, some pretty decent-sized people. So he's going to be in a movie. He's been talking about going Hollywood. But then Greg Bedard asked a couple people. He said, I tried to dig a little to see where things stand with Gronkowski and where things might go. Drew Rosenhaus, who I am ashamed of myself, I don't have the sound clip ready to go of him karate chopping flaming boards. His agent said he didn't have an update. So when I told him, all I've heard is that I hear he keeps popping into the facility to work out, and that seems to be a good sign. Rosenhaus hesitated for a second, and then again said he doesn't have an update. Greg says, I've dealt with Rosenhaus for a long time, especially when I covered the Dolphins when it seemed like he represented half the roster. I took his second non-answer as, quote, Rob still hasn't given me any direction yet, so I can't say if his working out is a good or negative sign. Gronkowski contemplating leaving the game has been a serious option. I continue to hear it's not a contract ploy, that it's the toll it's taken on his body, and the pain he endures has become a serious issue. He said, asked various front office executives if they've heard if Gronkowski's on the trade block, including those who could be viewed as Belichick-friendly. All of them said they haven't heard a word on that. A Bill Belichick-friendly source, however, agreed with my thinking that once a player makes Belichick start to contemplate life without him, Belichick starts to warm to being without the player. Quote, he imagines you're gone, he said. The longer Gronkowski goes without saying he's all in, the chances of him being traded increases,
well, that,
the source says.
Well, that will help the relationship between everyone. Because it's also been talked about how there was a meeting between, you know, Brady, Kraft, and Belichick, and that smoothed nothing out.
Yeah, that's actually in this article, too. He said that they met, but not that it smoothed nothing out, but there still seems to be something there that may have helped a little bit.
Yeah, and so go ahead and trade Gronkowski and get some picks. Well, Brady's at his age, and that will just make things harmonious for sure.
He continues, said sources from two teams that would make sense for Gronkowski said they absolutely would be interested in Belichick called, quote, he'd be perfect for us, one said. Likely haul in return, a possible late first-round pick if the team has it, but more likely a high second-rounder and a third. In terms of the most, I mean, that's kind of crazy.
That's all you get for Rob Gronkowski.
I'm not giving a first-round pick to Gronkowski.
Injuries or no injuries? Oh, man.
I'm not giving a first-round pick for Gronkowski.
Even if it's a low first-rounder, second half of the first round?
No, all right.
Yeah, so low first-rounder, you would do that.
I'm not talking like the third overall selection,
obviously,
something from 20 down?
You're in the ballpark, maybe a little bit lower than that.
Well, so he said in terms of most likely team to deal for Gronkowski, everyone agreed the 49ers would be the ideal trade partner. Quote, put him back with Jimmy Garoppolo, and they have nothing right now at tight end. They have the cap space, and maybe John Lynch will overpay to make up for the deal Belichick gave him on Jimmy. And this is an AFC general manager who said this. And you don't have to worry about Gronk in your conference. Others said not to discount the Rams. Quote, he'd make way more sense than Odell Beckham, because, you know, there's been the rumors of him possibly going over there, an NFC GM said. Texans with Bill O'Brien would also make sense, but one source said, quote, I doubt Belichick would send him in conference, even though he loves Billy. If you, and then this part, this is kind of in a different direction, but this was kind of interesting. It goes, if you think his jilting of the Colts has left Josh McDaniels toxic to owners of the NFL, you'd be wrong. Biggest reason, if you think this past hiring cycle lacked many good candidates, try to think of a good one for 2019. You can't. And then there's this. McDaniels has kept in touch with the coaches he intended to bring on staff in Indianapolis and has not ruled out being a candidate again in 2019. Nice. So you've got these two different things going on. First of all, let's just deal one at a time.
Indianapolis?
No,
I mean, if the coaches that he brought into Indianapolis, so now he wants them to break their contracts?
No, the ones he intended to bring on staff to Indianapolis, because I guess all of them weren't signed. I guess there were some that had not signed yet that he was thinking of.
Yeah, because there was no opportunities out there for him. There was no good opportunities. There was no one with a quarterback that he could have won with. McDaniels is out of his mind. Keep it up. Have everyone tell you how pretty you are year after year after year until you're aging supermodel that no one can stand the sight of.
Could you? Okay. After hearing all that stuff about Rob Gronkowski, does it make you change your mind at all about whether you think he's going to remain a Patriot this year?
No, I think that he's been contemplating this. I think that he's in a tremendous amount of pain. He's been told by doctors that a hit in the wrong place could injure his back for good.
If it's not a contract ploy, though, that was the only part of this thing that confuses me, because he says that he's convinced from the people he's spoken with that he's not doing it for more money. All right, if that's the case, then why not just pull the trigger?
Because he's contemplating it. He doesn't have to do anything right now.
It's a way for him to stay away from OTAs and passing camps and not have to deal with any of this until it really matters at the end of July.
And also, I think it's not that cynical. I think that he's really thinking about what he wants to do, that he's weighing the options, that if he plays a year or more in the NFL, it could severely cripple him.
And maybe he's waiting to see how many bites he gets. And this boss-level movie that's coming out is kind of a first bite, and he's trying to see what else is going to be on the horizon.
I mean, people younger than Gronkowski have made a lot less money than Gronkowski have retired from the league. I mean, San Francisco had, what, like four guys retire that were like 26 and under?
Oh, but how pissed would Patriots fans be if he got traded to the 49ers? If you had both Jimmy Garoppolo and you had, especially for a, like a second or third rounder.
If we're going to go down this road, I think Patriots fans would be much happier to send him all the way out there than have him play in a place where you might have to see him more than once.
First of all, there's not going to be a situation where Patriots fans are going to be happy if you get if you, anything less than a first rounder.
I would agree with that.
How far away is San Francisco from winning?
Well, with Jimmy Garoppolo, they haven't lost yet.
Well, so. Seattle just took a step back. Arizona is lousy. The Rams are the only team in your division now you have to worry about.
Well, Seattle's still going to be. They're going to be all right.
I guess what I'm saying is Seattle is on the downslide at this point.
Sure.
They're regrouping at best, retooling. That's a way they can sell it. How far away is San Francisco from a wild card spot? Because no one's going to catch the Rams for the next couple of years.
They're probably right there.
You got to figure a year, maybe two, right?
Yep.
If they get the right pieces around Jimmy?
Well, I think the NFC Central is going to have two playoff teams. NFC North is going to have two playoff teams.
San Francisco is not going to go 9-7, 10-6 this year, but they're a couple years away from that.
Okay,
maybe three.
Then I don't want Gronkowski. Then what's the point?
Maybe that could get you to the playoffs. Because maybe that could get you there this year. That's why.
I mean, if you're 2 years, 3 years away,
maybe
I'm not making.
Maybe you accelerate that timeline.
I'm certainly not giving up a late first round pick, high second round pick for a guy that's only going to play for two more years, and I have no shot at the Super Bowl.
If you're San Francisco, when you make that trade, you have to get assurances.
All right, we will be back.